Here we go. It's Long Gospel on this April the 4th in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm sorry, April the 5th. It's a Friday. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and we take a look at emails that we have received. This one was from Ron Hutchard, and it begins, "It started with an almost unthinkable radio transmission to an emergency number. The entire Baltimore Key Bridge has collapsed and fallen into the harbor." Then many of us saw the video of the collapse of the Baltimore Key Bridge, like something from a sci-fi movie. 1 minute, the heavily traveled Outer Harbor Bridge stood there majestically. The next minute, it was gone, in pieces, in the river. And then came the deep sadness of knowing that there were a number of workers on the bridge who had gone down to the water with it. Now, Ron says, "As I awoke to that heartbreaking scene on the news, I immediately had two reactions. One was to go to God for all the people who were hurt, lost, missing, grieving, and helping, because He is, as the Bible says, the God of all comfort and the Father of all compassion." That's from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. My second thought was the always be there things in our life are like that bridge. They can be there 1 minute, then so suddenly be gone. That collapsing bridge, I thought, is a picture of what happens in so many grieving hearts. It crumbles before their eyes. For example, there could be a marriage that was supposed to bring so much happiness, not so much pain, but then it crumbles. The future that is suddenly threatening by health issues may change everything. The plans that just blew up, the relationship on the rocks, the child in trouble, the return of a ghost from the past. The Bible bluntly calls out how insecure our security really is. What they trust in is fragile, and they rely on a spider's web. They lean on the web, but it gives way. You know, that's an analysis of humanity. And what I just quoted is from the Bible. It's Job chapter 8. Verse 14 and 15, that life is so fragile that it's like relying on a spider's web, but it gives way. A fire, a tornado, a drunk driver crossing the river, a heart attack, it can collapse our life in a moment. And this is why one of the greatest tasks of pastors is to visit shut-ins and hospitals, because that is where you feel that life is collapsing. You may have a shut-in whose husband has died, and she either has no children or they live hundreds of miles away in another state, and she is often alone. It's important that the church deal with these people in a Christ-like way. We would often get together with a number of people from the congregation and visit these shut-ins and come as a group. Let's say there was an elderly woman and she was alone. Well, we may take three women from the congregation and visit her, set up a time to go over to her house and work with her, maybe playing cards or just conversation, a Bible study, and so forth. The fact is, many things can be done by the church to help people. Like our person who wrote this, Ron, says, like the day I suddenly lost the love of my life, his wife. The day before was filled with the joy of our first grandchild's graduation. My wife was so alive. The next afternoon, she was gone. My mirror, my cheerleader, my wise counselor, my very best friend. A lot came crashing down that day. This occurs in the lives of members of the congregation. That is why a good pastor really gets to know the members of the congregation. He checks out what is going on in their life that is hurtful, that causes grief. Now, one of the favorite services a pastor does is a funeral service. Why is that a favorite service? Not only because during a funeral, you do have the attention of the people in the pews, but also you have a whole number of people that you've never seen before. When I was in my congregation for 28 years, it was not at all unusual that during a funeral, over half of the people in attendance were individuals who did not cross the threshold of a church every Sunday. And we had the opportunity to share with them the greatest good news they would ever hear about Jesus Christ. That's why funerals are one of the most excited things a pastor can look forward to. So, in one of Jesus' many parables, he tells about two houses. One is built on sand and one on rock. They both look good, until a violent storm comes. When it hits the house built on sand without a foundation, the floods sweep down against the house and it collapses in a heap of rooms. But when the floodwaters break against a house with its foundation on solid rock, it stands firm because it is well built. That's Luke chapter 6, verses 48 and 49. Now, what's the difference between a house built on sand and a house built on the rock? It's talking about the difference between the houses the world builds and the house that the church builds. The world builds houses that have no foundation except the minds of human beings. We've said this a lot of times. But every religion in the world, it is clear that the gods of those false religions are in the image of the people who think about them. They make up their own gods. And we should not be surprised then that the personality of those gods are similar to the people who made them up. That's house of sand. In contrast to the foundation of solid rock. What is the foundation of solid rock? It is none other than Jesus Christ. If you trust in Jesus Christ, that trust or that faith is a gift given to you by the Holy Spirit that you received either in the waters of baptism or by reading or hearing the scriptures. We have missionaries in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in many lands across the ocean. And at times, they only hear sermons. But they still come to faith, because in those sermons, we find the Word of God. There's no doubt that we are created for something that's indestructible. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, it says, God reveals where our restless, fearful hearts can find the solid rock. Ecclesiastes says, He has planned eternity in the human heart. Now, what is that talking about? It's not talking about the heart with which you were born, which is filled with original sin, is selfish and rebellious, not only against your parents, but against God. There's only one man who can give us a rock foundation, an unshakable, unclosable life, which is why many searching hearts are joyful when Jesus finds them. Because He put a transforming word in front of the word life. what they receive is eternal life. 1 John 5:11 and 12 says this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. What does it mean to have the Son? It means to have him as your brother, which means that you became a member of the family of God, with God as your Father, the Holy Spirit as your counselor, and Jesus as your Redeemer. He is the man who proves he has the rock foundation. Of the estimated 100 billion people who have lived on this planet, only one has ever walked out of his grave under his own power. That was Jesus. Remember, he says, I can destroy this temple, but raise it up in 3 days. The Pharisees were astonished. It took Herod decades to refinish the temple. And that's what they thought Jesus was talking about. But the temple he was talking about was his own body. His body is the church. And when you have faith, you are related to Jesus in a relationship with him, watching over you and taking care of you. His promises are yours. You have been created, or shall we say, you have been recreated when you come to faith. Recreated for something that's indestructible, that lasts forever. That means you can never be separated from the love of God. That's why people love the transforming word in front of the word life, the word eternal. At the very moment that you come to faith, you have eternal life. Your eternity of life doesn't begin on the day of judgment when you go have your body rejoin your spirit. No, it begins on the day that you have been given faith. There's only one man who can do this. The one who on Good Friday loved the world so much that he not only lived on this planet as a human being, but he was the only one who was able to walk out of his grave under his own power. When others were raised from the dead like Lazarus, it was by the power of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said at Lazarus' tomb. Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus obeyed the command because he had been given the ability to be risen from the dead and come out of the tomb. On a dark May day, I lost the love of my life. but not the one who loves me the most, and who promises in Hebrews 1, verse 13, chapter 13, verse 5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's unending life. That's the unlovable love. We can't love him, but we love him because he first loved us. And so it's an unlosable love. Finally, the eternity hole in my heart was filled by the one it was made for. So even when we think of the collapse of a bridge into the river, we remind ourselves of the glory of Easter. For when the Savior who walked out of his grave walks into your life, something transforming happens. You are safe forever. Now, what the world cannot understand is that you are even safe from the curse of your sin. Remember, in the day that you sin, eternal death is the result. Well, that eternal death is gone because Jesus experienced that eternal death on the cross. In the words of, my God, why have you forsaken me? Better translated as, my God, why have you left me alone? For Jesus alone suffered the penalty of the cross, suffered the whips, suffered his beard being pulled out, suffered the humiliation, and he died for those who had put nails into him and affixed him to the cross. That is the difference between the Christian faith and every other religion in the world. That in Christianity, Jesus died for the whole world. You can go to any person and tell them their sins have been forgiven, and they can receive that gift through faith in Jesus Christ. When you speak the word of God, they are able to make a decision as to whether they believe or not. But that decision comes about by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because as Jesus says, you did not choose me, I chose you. So, from this email, we learn that of all the tragedies that occur in life, they can result in comfort if our life is built on the rock rather than on sand. And the sand that many build their life on are the thoughts of human beings creating a God that is an idol but looks a lot like them, thinks a lot like them, and therefore has the same kind of ways as a fallen human being. But we believe in a human being that never fell into sin. And yet, he experienced the punishment of our sin. But when he rose from the dead, this was the way of showing that he was victorious over sin. Easter is every day in our life, regardless of the pain and suffering that we are experiencing. Easter can come through and create that comfort that ought to be at the end of every sermon, namely, preaching the gospel, showing that your obedience to the law gets you nowhere because of a sin within us. But the gospel washes away that sin. We don't have to pay for it. We are not held accountable. God is gracious. He is faithful. And that's the message that we as Christians need to share with many in the world. I'm Tom Baker. Join us again on Monday for more Law and Gospel. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.